Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask you now to count down from 10, silently if you don't mind, and when you get to 1, you'll hear one of the greatest voices on this or any other planet. 3, 2, 1, Eric Metaxas!
Big John. Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big
Books, as the music has told you, we have none other than Big Bad John Zmirak on the program to help us process what is happening in America and the world. John Zmirak, welcome back.
Hi, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Don't be so passionate about it. Now, listen, you have written a pretty amazing article. I put it on Twitter. In the article, you talk about, there are certain things that really are confusing. And the back and forth on this proposed TikTok ban. We all know TikTok is evil. We all know TikTok is China. It's wicked. But the ban that's been proposed, Rand Paul and others, and you have clarified why this ban is a very bad idea, and you wrote about it in your article. What is the title of the article you wrote at stream.org on this subject?
The TikTok ban is the Patriot Act Part 2, another Trojan horse for deep state tyranny.
Before we get into it, do we know where it stands right now, this proposed ban? Who is proposing it?
It has passed the House with a bunch of Republican votes, a majority of Republicans, and here's the kicker, tons of Democrats. So this is why it should not be confusing. If Democrats are willing to support something, it's bad. Right there, if you get dozens of Democrats willing to sign on to something, if Nancy Pelosi is for something, you should be against it. We are at the Democrats want... will not impose any border security. They're letting thousands of unvetted strangers into our country and flying them all over the country. They want to castrate our kids, abort babies up through birth. The Democrats are not a party of misguided people. They are not guided by any human ideas. The Democrats are, remember the passage in the gospel, the scattering swine possessed by demons galloping down to drown themselves in the sea? That's the Democrats. So if you see a herd of pigs galloping towards the sea, you don't need to think, should I join the herd of pigs galloping toward the sea? Let me weigh the pros and cons. No, you run in the opposite direction.
So this is where we are in politics today, that if something is bipartisan, you know it's bad.
That's right. Right there.
We know.
Reach across the aisle and take Nancy Pelosi's hand and agree on something, you know it's bad. I'm at the point now that if the Democrats came out against cancer, I would have to give cancer a hearing. I would have to say, wait, there must be something about cancer because the Democrats are against it.
This is pretty basic. This is pretty basic. And obviously, all you need to do is hear that the Democrats are for it. And you go, wait a second.
But now let me make the argument on the merits.
Thank you.
Your first instinct should be tribal. A man in a van with tinted windows is sitting outside a schoolyard offering candy. You don't have to ask, is that a good guy? Right. So that's the first thing. But the merits of the TikTok bill are so crazy. They give the president and the deep state the authority to look at any media, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, any medium. They can look at it and say, do we think that this is owned by or secretly controlled by some foreign adversary? Now, by foreign adversary, they don't mean a country we've declared war against. They mean a country that we say is an adversary. So in theory, Biden could say the Vatican is an adversary, and therefore Catholic media is controlled by the Vatican, so we're going to ban it, and the First Amendment doesn't apply. They won't do that, but they could under this law. So what they are setting up to do They are trying to give Biden the power to censor the internet in the buildup to the election. All he has to do is say, I think Elon Musk is controlled by Russia. And that's it. He has the power to say it, and no one has the power to challenge it.
John, look.
Wait, let me finish. He could close down Twitter. He could close down Rumble. He could close down Salem Media just by saying, I think they're reprinting Russian disinformation. And let's remember, the Hunter Biden laptop story was censored at the request of the CIA. Facebook censored it, even though it was true, because the CIA and its honcho said, we think this is Russian disinformation. So what this is a repeal of the First Amendment. Tucker Carlson and Rand Paul said it's the biggest act of censorship in American history. So, of course, it's wrapped up in a shiny bow. We're going to protect your kids from China. You won't protect our kids from pedophiles, from drag queens reading them pornography in schools, but you're going to protect us from this one thing. And you don't have any ulterior motive like giving Biden the power to censor the internet. Today, at the Supreme Court, are oral arguments about when they censored the internet over COVID. And great people like Jay Bhattacharya, other scientists who were censored by the media, by the government during the COVID panic, are saying this was a violation of the First Amendment. Well, guess what? If the TikTok bill passes, cases like that won't make it to court because this gives the president the power to completely censor the internet.
Okay, John, here's the question. Because a lot of times people are busy, they can't follow this stuff. How is it that this could happen? In other words, we expect heroes like Rand Paul to sound the alarm against this evil. But who in Congress that we would expect better from have been behind this? In other words, who on the Republican side? I'm not talking about, you know, the people that we know are rhinos.
I don't have the list, Eric, but 150 Republican congressmen voted for this. There shouldn't be.
What though? That gives me hope because there are 150 bum rhinos. We already know that. So
it's not all rhinos. It's people, good people say, oh, TikTok, that's communist. That's China. Vote against it. And they don't think twice. And in my column at the Stream, I explain how this happened once before. The Patriot Act. I was one of those nut jobs who opposed the Patriot Act. Ron Paul and I and Pat Buchanan and seven other people, I think I know them all personally, we opposed the Patriot Act. When it passed, and I think you remember, you probably remember the feeling. We have to protect ourselves against the terrorists. And you got to take the shackles off the CIA and the FBI to make sure that there's not another 9/11. Some of us said, this is really dangerous. I said at the time, don't give George W. Bush any power that you don't want Hillary Clinton to have in 3 years. Nobody listened. The Patriot Act passed in this huge bipartisan thing, exactly like the TikTok bill, to protect us against a dangerous foreign enemy. It wasn't China. It was radical Islam. They passed it.
For those of us who don't remember the details.
I'm about to go into the details. The Patriot
Act. What the Patriot Act actually was. And what was the year? Was this 2003?
No, I think it was 2001. I think it passed pretty soon after the attack.
Okay.
All right. So the Patriot Act, what it did was essentially, during the 70s, the reforms of the CIA had created silos so that the CIA could not work directly with the NSA and the FBI. Effectively, the CIA couldn't use the FBI to spy on Americans. The FBI couldn't do sting operations, such as once the Patriot Act passed, what the FBI did, they went around to mosques and offered thousands of dollars to random Muslim Americans, saying, how would you like to do some terrorism? How would you like to fight some jihad? Here's a building we want to blow up. Here are the bombs. Here are the plans. The FBI created dozens of fake terrorist plots out of thin air and entrapped ordinary Muslims into those plots and offered them the material. Sometimes they'd wait till just before it blew up and then swoop in and stop it. Exactly what they did in Michigan with the Governor Whitmer plot, where the FBI made up a terrorist plot to kidnap the governor and execute her, and then went out and found Americans and convinced them to do it, gave them thousands of dollars, gave them guns, and flew them around. Again, the FBI creating fake terrorist plots to entrap Americans. The Obama,
it's just so sick. It's so sick that this happened way back then. And it has continued to happen. So this is more than two decades now. And now this was going on before that. But this is so dirty. It's so filthy.
I have to give you the next step. Some of us said this is very dangerous. This is going to be used against innocent Americans. Under Bush, it was used against innocent Muslim Americans. Obama, once he came in, saw that, oh, I have the machinery. I can treat my domestic political opponents as extremists and we can target them. Soon you had the attack on the Tea Party, you had the attack on pro-lifers. The intelligence community has become the fourth branch of government, and it is not answerable to any of the others.
We're going to pick up on this when we come back. Lots more with John Smirek. Folks, please go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner for the Alliance Defending Freedom. We need everyone who listens to this program to step up, to do what you can. The banner is right at the top, MetaxasTalk.com. Please be generous. Please do it today. We need your help. Thank you. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. Think about it. They need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-385-0596 right now or go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the ADF banner, MetaxasTalk.com. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 855-385-0596 to make your best gift now. Welcome back. We're talking to John Smirek. It's spelled with a Z. Don't be confused. Z followed by an M. M is the first letter of my name. In case you're confused, M is the first letter of my name. It is the second letter of John's name, which begins, the first letter is a Z. Z-M-I-R-A-K, John Smirek. John Smirek, let's continue. This is very important stuff. Thank you for clarifying. Keep going.
The TikTok ban is the Patriot Act Part 2. The Patriot Act Part 1 removed Americans' protections from being hunted by the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA and the deep state. And this Patriot Act is what allowed Obama to turn the FBI and the CIA into a domestic political police on the model of the Russian KGB and the East German Stasi. And we saw what happened with pro-lifers getting their doors kicked down by the FBI over nonviolent offenses. All these things come from the weaponization of the intelligence community. The intelligence community became a fourth branch of government in no way answerable to the others. When Donald Trump took office, the FBI and the CIA decided they were going to nullify the 2016 election. They were going to completely thwart Trump's efforts to do anything, and they even cooked up a fake impeachment plot. The Russia collusion hoax was entirely a lie. Everyone in the FBI knew it was a lie. Everyone in the CIA knew it was a lie. They knew it was partisan garbage that John McCain and then Hillary Clinton had cooked up in the course of the campaign. They knew it was a lie. We got all the way to impeaching a president of the United States. Donald Trump wanted to rein in the deep state. He had good instincts. He knew the deep state is out of control. He tried to bring in Michael Flynn to rein them in. Michael Flynn would have been over them. What did they do? They cooked up a fake crime and accused Michael Flynn of it. And Mike Pence convinced Donald Trump to fire Mike Flynn. And so Donald Trump's presidency ended before it began. During the transition, Mike Pence convinced Donald Trump to leave the deep state in place, persecute Mike Flynn and his son with fake crimes. What that did was it allowed the deep state to cook up the fake impeachment, the Russia collusion, to cripple Trump in office. What that was a deep state coup. The way the CIA would do coups in Honduras and Guatemala in the 50s, the CIA did a coup in the United States in the winter of 2017 when Mike Flynn was prevented from coming in and cleaning out the deep state.
I have two questions that I've been holding back here. First of all, quickly, I want you to answer. I'm always curious about degrees, right? Like, it seems to me, I would guess at this point, that Mike Pence was used. In other words, that there's a naivete with Mike Pence, that he's not all in the way that some people are all in on the deep state. Would you at least agree with me a little bit on that, that he's not a wicked guy, but that he was used because he's naive?
He's a coward. He betrayed. I have another piece of the stream called Indiana Trans and the Pensing of Nome, where I explain how Mike Pence betrayed Christians in 2015 as governor of Indiana. He had supported this Religious Freedom Restoration Act that would have protected Christians from the LGBT lobby. The NCAA and Amazon and the Chamber of Commerce all threatened a boycott of the state of Indiana. Rather than stand firm for the religious rights of Christians, Pence gutted the Religious Freedom Act. As a result, now there's an Indiana couple, a Catholic couple, whose son claims he's trans because the school psychologist got hold of him. They don't want to use fake pronouns. They don't want to call him by a girl's name. They have lost custody of their child, and he has been put in a trans-friendly foster home.
Thanks to Mike Pence. Okay, second question before we move on. I got to ask you about George W. Bush. When the Patriot Act happened, you knew it was wrong. I was... as usual, naive, or really, in that case, not paying attention. A lot of folks don't pay attention, which is part of the problem. But I just want to ask you, do you think in 2001, when the Patriot Act was proposed, we now know that it has been used by the left and by the deep state. Who do you think was in on it at the time? Or do you think it was just the way things went? Right. In other words, even though
I think the people in the CIA, the Brahmins, the very wealthy people like the Bush family, have a profound contempt for ordinary American people. They regard the ordinary people as grubby proles who ideally could be replaced by docile immigrants from Latin America, and they don't really care about the rights of individual ordinary Americans. They only care about what they see. Their fellow citizens are the people they see in international business class or who fly private. Those are the only real humans. Life starts not at conception, but when you get into Harvard or Yale. And if you don't get into Harvard or Yale, you're never really fully human.
But
so
John,
I think
that's true, but I'm still kind of wondering.
They don't care about American freedom. They care.
Well, no. I understand that, but I'm still kind of wondering. Do you think when they put the Patriot Act in, was there anybody who knew where this would be going in 20 years? Was there anybody?
Ron Paul was saying it in Congress. I wrote it in the pages of American Conservatism and Encyclopedia, which was published by a conservative publisher. Some of us were warning at the time. Libertarians were warning at the time, you are politicizing the CIA. You are turning the intelligence community into an arm of the executive branch so that the president can target his domestic political enemies and destroy them.
Answer my question. When we come back, I want to push you on that. And then I want to talk to you about other unpleasant things. Folks, we're talking to John Smirak. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back. Talking to John Smirak. John, I'm still not clear. I was asking the question, you know, not you saw where this could go and you warned about it. And Pat Buchanan and others warned about it. Naomi Wolf on the left warned about it.
Right.
But my question is, do you suppose that there were those in the CIA, in what we now call the deep state, who already then saw where it was going? In other words, you warned against where this could go and where it would go. But do you suppose that there were people planning for it to go in that direction already when the Patriot Act was being pushed forward? That's my question.
Oh, obviously. I'm sorry. I thought that was obvious. Yes, of course. The people in the intelligence community wanted more power. This is human nature. Anybody who has power will want more power. The whole point of our system of government is to provide checks and balances to limit people gaining more and more and more power and using power as a means to gaining more power. That's what governments do. Governments, by their very nature, tend to be tyrannical. That's why our founders set up this unique, wonderful system designed to frustrate people in power. Our system of government is intentionally inefficient. It's a Rube Goldberg. It's like this big, elaborate contraption that, you know, a squirrel runs on a wheel, which pulls a string, which makes a canary sing, and all of it does is crack an egg at the end. And that, and to people like Woodrow Wilson, and to people on the left, to those who call themselves progressives, all these constitutional protections were a pointless waste of time. They were 18th century obsolete mechanism. Nowadays, what you hear is, oh, that's a system designed by slave owners. Anyone who you hear attacking the Constitution or the founding are doing it because they are tyrants and they're frustrated that the Constitution keeps them from kicking down your door, taking your guns, taking your kids, and putting you in a labor camp. That is their motivation, because that is man's motivation. Man is fallen. Man is corrupted by original sin. Our founders saw that, so they set up a system designed to fight against itself in order to frustrate this profound, okay, innate human corruption. So, okay.
I want to talk to you about your new, the other articles about David French, but give me a quick yes or no on this one, because this is my, I'm always just curious. Do you think it's possible to repeal the Patriot Act under a second Trump administration?
Politically, I think it would be very difficult, but I would love, we'd have to get Trump behind it. And you might even get votes from the Democrats, because some of the Democrats, their actual Muslim terrorist friends, will see an opportunity there.
Maybe we can get AOC to link arms with
Rand Paul.
With Rand Paul. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the article you wrote about David French. What's the title of this article at stream.org?
David Vichy French endorses Biden. Are we seeing a tragedy or a farce?
Before you go into that, because this is really sickening, that David French, a so-called evangelical, a so-called conservative, actually endorsed Joe Biden. We have to put that in context. The other day, maybe it was yesterday, Mike Pence refused to endorse Trump. If you refuse to endorse Trump, I think that means you endorse Biden without saying so. But let's talk about David French.
That 0.5% of the vote that Mike Pence attracted in the primaries is really going to make a difference.
Well, it has nothing to do with whether it's going to make a difference. It has to do with the optics. Right. I have to say, for Mike Pence to be unable to say that he endorses the GOP nominee, that is astonishing that Mike Pence was unable to do that. Why would he not do that?
Well, more astonishing is that Donald Trump in 2016 couldn't see what a squish Mike Pence was for having betrayed Christians in his own state of Indiana. And my fear is that somebody will convince Donald Trump to pick another Mike Pence, like Kristi Noem. In my article, I explained that Kristi Noem in the state of South Dakota has been every bit as bad towards Christians and family and pro-life issues as Mike Pence was in Indiana. So if Trump picks Kristi Noem, he's just turning his back and waiting for the knife to get stuck in all over again. So the most important thing about Mike Pence is that he can be replaced with another cipher, another meaningless nothing like Kristi Noem, who will also serve the deep state the way Mike Pence did.
Okay, but let's get back to the explicitly offensive story that David French, this man who has written for National Review, he considers himself a conservative and an evangelical. He has endorsed baby killing Joe Biden. How can this be? Please explain.
So my piece is, I call him David Vichy French. And a couple of years ago, I made that joke on Twitter before I was permanently banned from Twitter. It obviously really upset David French. He sent his little flying monkeys, his minions, his followers, started accusing me of violating the compact of civility. And I said to them, I never signed any such compact, nor would I sign any such compact. Where did I agree? Oh, we're all going to play nice because nothing important is at stake, right? Well, in my column at The Stream, I compare David French, who was once kind of a conservative hero. He was a senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, which you're always talking about, which the Biden administration is trying to debank right now. He helped found the organization Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, a free speech champion. He was pro-life. He was Republican. He presented himself as the voice of principled conservatism. How could this guy now be supporting Joe Biden? He called drag queen story hours one of the blessings of liberty guaranteed by the Constitution. How did that happen? Well, what I do is I look at the career of Joseph Darnand, one of the leading actual historical Vichy French collaborators with the Germans. Joseph Darnand was a French hero in World War I and World War II. He fought the Nazis in World War II. He was captured, escaped from a POW camp. He was one of the most highly decorated military heroes in France. Yet he ended up working for the Germans, running the militia, which was the Vichy French police that hunted down the resistance and sent Jews to camps. How did Joseph Darnand end up? He hated the Germans, loved France. How did he end up a German puppet?
Okay, we're going to go to a break. Folks, we have one more long segment with John Zmirak after the top of the hour. That's the beginning of hour two. We will continue this conversation with John Zmirak. After that, we're talking to James Lindsay, prominently featured in Letter to the American Church, the documentary, which you can get at lettertothemericanchurch.com, lettertothemericanchurch.com. Folks, welcome to hour two. I continue my conversation with our friend John Zmirak. So, John, you describe in your article at thestream.org how it's possible for someone who once upon a time was a conservative hero, worked for the Alliance Defending Freedom, which we're talking about on this program. He seems to have gone over to the dark side a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and then more and more until he, David French, has now endorsed Joe Biden for president. If anybody wants to know where Russell Moore and David French and those on what is the evangelical left, what's behind them, all you need to know is that it is now out in the open and David French has officially endorsed Joseph Biden against Donald Trump in the fall. So go ahead.
So I trace, how did the Vichy French, who were fanatical French patriots, who fought the Germans, they hated the Germans, how did they end up becoming the puppets of the Germans? And the thing is, they wanted power. They wanted power, and the Germans offered them the chance to gain power. And so they were willing to sell out their most fundamental beliefs in order to gain power. Likewise, the neocon, never Trump Republicans, they want social respectability. They want to be invited to the cool parties in Park Slope, Brooklyn. They want their books featured in the Washington Post. They want to have shows on NPR. They want to be upper class Episcopalians at all costs. They want to arrive. They want to be in America's elites. That's what they care about. And once it became clear Trump and his supporters were taking over the Republican Party, they were going to have to play second fiddle. They were going to have to defer to the actual voters who go to NASCAR rallies and listen to country music and have guns. They were so outraged that they were losing control of the Republican Party that they decided to throw in with the Democrats, who will get them on NPR, who will review their books in the Washington Post. David French would never have had a regular column in the New York Times. He would not have gotten published in the Atlantic in 2014 and 2015. He was out in the wilderness writing at National Review. But once the establishment right, the swamp right, once they decided that Donald Trump was literally Hitler and that his voters were literally dangerous extremists, they could throw in with the Democrats, and all of a sudden they get all sorts of goodies. Now, David French helped make this Carl Reiner movie, which portrays conservative Christians as essentially Nazis. Russell Moore and David French are involved in creating this defeatist curriculum for Christians to be used in churches called After Pardon. It is designed to tell Christians you shouldn't try to protect unborn children or protect traditional marriage or protect kids from trans. You shouldn't do that because that's Christian nationalism. Who funded that? The people who funded that were among the largest donors to Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood blood money is now flowing into the pockets of these people, and they're getting pats on the head. They're getting columns in the New York Times, columns in the Atlantic. They're getting their little gold stars just the way the Vichy French were getting iron crosses from the Nazis for hunting their fellow Frenchmen.
John, it is just – this stuff is so unbelievable because you could have predicted this, but it's almost like you can't believe it would really happen, that people – would, I mean, and again, this is kind of the way it works, right? They're so triggered by Donald Trump. I mean, we can have all kinds of legitimate criticisms of Donald Trump, but at some point, some people just get unhinged. And
they don't hate anything. Trump. Eric, they don't hate Trump. They hate you. They hate his voters. They hate the people who he represents. They hated Pat Buchanan for the same reason and in the same way. Pat Buchanan had none of the weird personal stuff of Donald Trump. They hated him even more. They hate the voters. They hate Americans. They want to replace Americans with docile immigrants who will come in and mow their lawns and be the nannies to their entitled kids and prune the bushes into topiary in their gated communities. They don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in equality. They are like French aristocrats in 1789 dressing up as shepherds. And they are on the verge of unleashing a whirlwind. Because if Joe Biden gets reelected, or if they manage to steal it for him again, the last vestiges of freedom in America are going to be quashed. They have shown us that. FBI agents battering down the doors of pro-life demonstrators.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left, John. I just want to say, so the headline, folks, and listen, a lot of times I will ask people, prominent Christians, do you know who David French is? Do you know who Russell Moore is? They've never heard of them. So that's the good news. These are these elitist figures, and we often give them too much power. But if your evangelical church has adopted the Bible study called the After Party, run from that church. Make sure you understand this is evil stuff. This is stuff pushed forward by David French and Russell Moore to silence the voice of the church in America, which is precisely the opposite of what I'm trying to do with my book and the film Letter to the American Church. So just so you understand those headlines. Now, John, we've got to touch on this before you go. I guess it was yesterday. This is another example. It's so dramatic. You kind of can't believe it. Donald Trump was talking about the Chinese auto manufacturing, blah, blah, blah. He says it's going to be a bloodbath. The mainstream media grabbed that word and ran and ran and ran with it. They're still running with it today, suggesting that Donald Trump says that if he doesn't win, there will be a bloodbath, as though he's calling for violence. This is what we're facing in America.
That's right. And it's called propaganda. I mean, they're using the same techniques you use for dog training. Bloodbath, bad, bad Trump, bad. Rub your nose in it. They're going to rub our nose in it. Our media are treating us like disobedient pets. And if the TikTok ban passes, they will have even more power to do so, because Rumble, which shows this video, will very likely be closed down. Tucker Carlson will probably disappear. X will probably have to be sold to some lesbian commune in Martha's Vineyard. These people don't believe in American freedom. That's why they tore down statues of our founders. That's why they encouraged looting in the streets. The same people who encouraged the George Floyd riots, which killed at least a dozen Americans, the same people who thought it was fine for Hamas people to break into the grounds of the White House, but want to put Americans in prison for years for showing up and taking selfies on January 6th. We are really at one of those tipping points, like Germany in 1932 or Cambodia just before the Khmer Rouge took over. We are dealing with, first of all, just fantastically corrupt and competent people like Fannie Willis, and then vile fanatics like Mark Elias and Peter Stroke, and they're being enabled by squishes and weaklings like Mike Pence.
I got to ask you, on Twitter this morning, I said Trump should say, "We will slaughter Joe Biden in November," just to see if the media run with that and claim he's calling for political assassination. I think we should double down and use words like, you know, "I'm going to make mincemeat out of my opponents."
I've got one for you. Trump. I'm going to ethnically cleanse the electoral map on election night so it's all red. I will purge every trace of blue from the map. We're going to commit a genocide of Democrat electors.
I love the idea that we're going to slaughter them. We're going to slaughter the Dems in whatever. He should be thrown out. He should be baiting the mainstream media constantly so that they don't know which way to turn, because it's just funny. It's just funny.
It is funny. And the fact that Americans are subject to this is it's a very disturbing sign that people are so easily manipulated. But really pray that the Supreme Court case, which is before the court now, it's all about the total censorship of eminent doctors by our media during manufactured COVID panic. That was the dry run for totalitarian takeover of the entirety of the West. And we failed that test. Most of us rolled over. Most of us caved in. So
I'm afraid we're out of time. John, thank you very much.